For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. Okay, welcome everyone. We're in the Haftarah of Parshas Kisavo. And as we mentioned, these are the weeks of comfort and connection to Hashem. On Tisha B'Av, Hashem's presence left us, so to speak. And then as we see, as we're getting closer, we've talked about, the analogy was like a husband and a wife that had challenges together and how they're getting back together. This Haftarah is actually not about getting back together. It's actually messianic times when the Mashiach comes, what the future vision will be. Especially when we're going through the challenging times, going through the exile and going through the difficulties that we face in life, it's sometimes good to have a picture of the future vision of what time will bring or what will happen in the future. So he begins like this. Kumi Uri. They translate this as arise and shine. You remember that. That's right. It means to get up. And our goal in life is to be a light unto the nations. That's the and light is a very strong metaphor that's used. When it says Hashem created the world, it says Vayar, Hashem created the or, the light, and he saw that it was good. And light is something, when it's dark, people trip, they hurt themselves, they can't see, they get depressed, it's dark, it's dingy. But light is something that enables people to coexist better. It brings joy. A person, light is something you can share. It doesn't take away from you when you share that light. When we're supposed to be a light, sometimes when it's dark and you don't know what way to go, you see a light or somebody has a light, you follow the person with a light. They kind of show the way. So, like, we're supposed to, we know about Hashem and we know about the Torah, and we're supposed to show the way for future people. We're supposed to show them the way. We're supposed to enlighten them. So, when the Messianic time comes, right now they don't want to hear the light. They don't want to hear... they're not open to changing their ways or to learning, or maybe not so much. But there'll come a time when it's time for us to show the light. Get up and show the light. Get up and sometimes we show them other things. That's what they call a chil Hashem, when they look at us and they say, oh, you know, you're only interested in money, or you fight with each other, or whatever it is. So get up and show the light. Get up and be a light unto the nations, kivorech, because the light has arrived. That season, the Mashiach is a kind of light, and part of being a light, it's not that we see ourselves as a light. We see Hashem's Torah reflecting on us. So kavod Hashem alayik sarach, and Hashem's glory will shine on you. One of the things, you know, we count with a lunar calendar. And we say a bracha every month on the new moon, because the moon is a reflection of the sun. Our goal is really to reflect Hashem's values to the world. We don't believe we make this stuff up. You know, our real goal is to be a vehicle to bring the teachings of Torah to mankind. So we're waiting for that time when Hashem says, okay, you know, flick the switch, get up and show the light, because now it's time to reflect that light of Hashem. Verse 2. Now, why do you need the light? Because the whole world is dark. The world is a dark, dark place. And the nations of the world, the other peoples, they are living in a darkness. They don't have a clue. And on you, Hashem will shine. And people will see in you that reflection, those teachings that we come to learn and we come to share. Right now, it could be nobody's interested, but there'll be a time when we will be a light in the future. Verse 3. And the nations of the world, they're going to go, they're going to be following you. They're going to be looking for that light. And not just the nations, but the greatest of the nations, the kings, the leaders, they're going to be... some people take this to mean that their leaders are going to be last. In other words, first come the nations, and then the leaders, the politicians, will be the last ones to get the light. it's such a shame, you know, when you think about it, we developed our own word for, like, we always have, like, a leader or a hero or a... And then instead of that, we have politician. The ideal thing should be the person that represents us should be somebody who, you know, when we were young, we studied, like, American history, and we were so proud of the presidents. You know, George Washington never told a lie, you know, and he chopped down the cherry tree, whatever. And because we wanted to believe that they were leaders, that they were people that would show us by example that they were such good and righteous people, that we would want them to lead the way, to show us how we're supposed to be. And now it's almost the opposite. The more a person's a politician, the more likely he's corrupt and vain and has a lot of... I mean, there's still maybe good people that get into politics, but that's the... it kind of says that here in verse 3, that the nations are going to see the light, and then, you know, then all of a sudden the UN and the kings and the other leaders are going to follow. Verse 4. What's going to happen is that all of a sudden we're going to see that we've become very popular. Se'i savi veinecha. Like, look all around. U'ri'i kula nekasu bo'olach. You're going to see that the nations are going to be gathered from all over coming to you. Now, when they come, they're going to bring a gift. They're going to bring our children back, which is very nice of them. They're the ones that took them to begin with. But also, many of our children, they're assimilated Jews that have disappeared over the years. There's so many Jews over the years that have disappeared amongst the nations. So when these nations come back, they're going to bring with them our missing sons and daughters. Banecha meirachok yavi. They're going to, from far away, they're going to bring our sons. Ubanesecha outside teimana. And the daughters too. It's interesting that it kind of separates the word for the sons and the daughters. We believe there's a separate role for men and women. Even when the Mashiach comes, the sons, they'll be coming from far away, and then the daughters also will be coming on the side. It's just an interesting expression. I don't know what it means. The daughters on the side, they will be nurtured. This one seems to say they will be royal. We always know that, you know, the our daughters are princesses, so they will be led. They'll come back in a royal fashion. Verse 5, us tiru, and then when we're going to see minahartu. Now, initially, when we're going to see these thousands, I just imagine for a second, you have to picture it. I just, you know, I open this door, and we have usually our group, and they fit in. But just imagine if the whole Atlantis started pouring into this classroom. You know, they wanted to hear, you know, and then they're coming on the outside, and they're hanging on the windows, and they're trying to, you know, we'd start to get scared, like, what's going on? So that's what's going to happen, is that at first we're going to see everybody wants to hear the light of Torah. We're going to get afraid, you know, what's going on? But then, urachav levavech, and, but then we're going to look at it differently. Ki yahafik alayach hamon yam, because we will see that people are going to turn to us. Chel goyim yavulach. The nations of the world are going to come, and not to come to make war, but they're going to come to learn Torah. They're going to want to learn about Hashem. Verse 6. Now, when they come, they're also going to bring presents, which I guess that's a good thing. You need to pay the bills. Shafas gamalim. They're going to bring the good camels. Hopefully, they'll bring good cars or planes or more updated kind of... It means whatever the mode of transportation they're going to bring, the good in those days a good camel was like really like the top, you know, you know, it's like a Cadillac or a Volvo, right? That's right. You didn't have like just a donkey or just you had a camel. You know, these are like top camels, and you had not just plain ones. You had Bechori Midjan Ve'efa. You had the best, you know, the finest camel, the finest donkey, the finest transportation money could buy. The Eifa Kula Mishva, and they brought in those days from the Middle East, when they brought stuff from Africa, they had stuff that you just didn't have, would come all kinds of treasures and things. So It's describing that when the nations come to learn and to learn about Hashem, they will bring different animals and they will bring different gold and silver, yavu zav ulavona, and good smelling things, yisu. And when they come, it's very interesting. Usihilos Hashem yivaseru. They will tell us about the praises of Hashem. The non-Jews will tell us the praises of Hashem, which is, you know, the whole world will really sing the praises of Hashem. They'll appreciate what Hashem does for them. There's a pasuk in Halo, which is an interesting thing, and that is that the non-Jews know how many times they tried to harm us, and Hashem didn't allow it to happen. I mean, when you think about it, these terrorists have been in business for years, and they had all the oil money, and they tried so many times to make plans to harm us, and most of the time, Baruch Hashem, it doesn't succeed. Hopefully, none of the time it should succeed. But they know how many different things they wanted to do to us that just did not, Hashem didn't allow it to happen. We learn out from the Torah, really, with Lavan, when he chased after Yaakov, was planning on killing him, and Hashem came to him in the middle of the night and said, "Don't touch him. You know, don't, you know," we didn't even know about that. Like, we wouldn't, Yaakov didn't know that his father-in-law was planning on, you know, the coming with the sword, and, you know, these were his own children. But there are many times in history like that where somebody wanted to harm us. They say Stalin wanted to harm the Jewish people. He wanted to send everybody to Siberia. That was in the, they were actually setting up camps to transport people, to concentration camps to transport Russian Jewry. And Stalin had a stroke. And that was it. And that was the. But it was. There have been many times throughout history where people have wished to harm us, and they didn't succeed. So they will sing the praises of Hashem because they know the truth. Verse 7. Now, when that time comes, people will want to get close to Hashem. One of the ways of getting close will be bringing offerings. And so people will come with all kinds of sheep and flock for offerings. Kol tzon keter yikafsulach. Ayele navos yisharsucha. We'll have like the animals from all over. Yalu al ratzon mizbuchi. Now, if you remember, in the book of Yeshayahu of Isaiah started off with, who needs your offerings? You know, you guys, when you don't, when you are, your ways aren't pleasing in Hashem's eyes, I don't want to hear from you. Your offerings are meaningless to me. So over here, this is more towards the end of the book, Hashem paints the messianic times where he says that you'll bring all these offerings, then they will come and they will be desirable. Yalo al ratzon mizbechi, they'll come on my altar and they'll be a glory. Verse 8. Mi elak av tufenu. What will happen is there'll be an ingathering of the exiles, and the Gentile world will come to Israel to study and to learn to the house of Hashem, and it'll be like it'll travel like a cloud. Ki li ii mikavu. People from the far corners of the world are just going to like start appearing from nowhere. There's two different verses. Verse 8, mi ela ka'av tufeno. It'll be like this big cloud. And birds, in those days they had like pigeons, and they would have a pigeon coop, and they would fly off, and then at a certain time they would all come back. So in the future we're going to see like everybody's going to come back. So it's going to look like the birds are all coming back, you know. What is interesting is Israel is in the middle of a bird migration area, and a very high percentage of the world's birds fly over Israel. And they like come back there at a certain time, and it's like one of the, there's a certain flying pattern where they all travel from the different parts of the world. The birds come, and they say if you're a bird watcher, Israel is like one of the best places to be, like to see, you know, different birds. But it's symbolic because it describes the nations of the world coming back like these birds, like these clouds coming back. Verse 19. Now, what about the far off places? You go to these exotic places; they don't know anything from Hashem. These far off places will gather. The boats are going to be coming. Let me just try to picture all these boats on the way to Israel. You know, people coming from Tarshish, Prishana, Lahavi, Benecha, Merachok. And they're first going to bring back our children, going to bring back your sons. They'll be led by the Jewish people that have gone on to these nations. Kasbam, Bezav, Itam. And they're going to bring their gold and silver, L'shem Hashem, Elokayach. And they're going to come in the name of Hashem, L'kadosh Yisrael, Kifore, and the Holy One of Israel. Now, verse 10, when they come, Ubanu b'nei necher chamosayach. They're going to build your walls for you. You know, there are a lot of jobs that are hard. Building a wall in those years was like a really big job. Well, they'll come and they'll build your walls. Sometimes when you see the Arabs like doing the building in Israel, you think about that. Like Hashem said, you know, there need to be a lot of workers to do all that construction. And so you need people that are willing to do that kind of work, you know, do the heavy construction and the building. And you look all over Israel, it's mostly the Arab labor that does the...
Because they get paid less.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. But as long as they do it. So the children of the foreign nation are going to come and going to build everything for them. Malchayim Yishrasucha. And their kings will consider it a privilege to work for us. Ki bechatzvi ha'isicha. Now, you might remember that I hit you with my anger, but that as we had before, that was we had made a mistake, and Hashem got angry with us. U'britzoni v'chamticha. But that's going to end, and Hashem is going to bring us back. We're going to make up. There's a, you know, life has its ups and downs. That's a normal thing that we angered Hashem, but Hashem will take pity on us and bring us back. Verse 11, Upisku sharecha tamid. You're going to have your door open all the time. You never know, like people are coming and going. You've got to leave the doors open. So the people are going to be coming, so you're going to have to leave open the doors. The gates are going to be open. Yom v'layli, they won't close them. Lahavi elai chel goyim, to bring the troops, the armies of the nations, they're going to come. Umalcheim nehugim, and their kings will follow up. So it's a different kind of picture. I don't, you know, you think about it, we have to be ready for a world where today people are focused on having more money or having pleasures. And imagine living in a world where people want to serve Hashem and they want to be better people and they want to learn how they can, you know, do good things. It's just a totally different picture. Now, obviously not everybody's going to, what about the wicked people? What about the terrorists? What's going to happen with them? So verse 12, Ki agoy v'am lamlocho, if you have a nation or you have a king, asher lo yavducha, that doesn't want to serve Hashem, Yovedu, goodbye. They're going to be gone. No, don't have to worry anymore about them. But goyim choyv yechavrenu, and the nations that don't see the messianic times, don't want to live that type of life, they'll fight with each other with the sword. Which, by the way, that's what's happening in the, you know, the Gentiles are killing each other. The Arabs, the ones that really, you know, Syria was the country where they hated the Jews the most, and next Iraq, you know, and they're just killing each other right and left. And I came across like an old news headline where if you remember, Saddam Hussein used to send missiles. He was really the first. He sent missiles with gas to, you know, to Israel. You remember maybe 10 years ago, people had those gas masks when the Scud started. Like, he was just attacking innocent civilians. We had nothing to do with that. He went into Kuwait and, you know, and now look at that country. Iraq is just, you know, no one in Israel is afraid of Iraq today. I mean, there's nothing. It's gone back to the Middle Ages, really, as far as the, ISIS is there, but it's the nations, the enemy, the wicked people, they're going to destroy each other. We won't even have to fight them. They will destroy each other. Verse 13. Now, we have this word about the Lebanon. Apparently in ancient times there were big forests, timber wood, that came from Lebanon. So the Kavod Alecha, these great woods, the building materials will be shipped to Israel from all over the world, so that the people that want to learn about Hashem will be able to have an apartment. You know, right now there's an apartment shortage in Israel. You can't, you know, so the wood from the Lebanon will come, but Rosh Tidhar, but Usher, Yachtov, and they'll have like all the really good woods will be sent. Lafar, and it'll be beautiful. Makom Mikotche, in my holy place. Umakom Raglai Achaved, in the place of my footstool. Hashem is still going to be, the way we see it is that the Hashem is holy, and this world is not quite in the heaven, you know, like we can reach up to the heavens, and so the world is sometimes described as his footstool. It's a funny example. It's really a metaphor. We don't know really what it means, like his footstool, you know, like his feet. Exactly what that idea is, that his footstool is. That it means like that some presence of Hashem rests here, just like a person's foot rests on a stool, so there's a presence of Hashem that will rest in this world. But there's a higher presence that we strive for, that's an even higher level of Hashem that's up, you know, in the heavens, so to speak. But it's very interesting too, because whenever there's a prophecy that you can sometimes see, the children of those that harmed you are going to come bow down to the land of Israel, and they're going to come wanting to serve Hashem. There were places where there were Germans that came to kibbutzim to volunteer because they felt so guilty what their people had done to the Jewish people during the Holocaust. They still could be some, but this was I remember when I was young and in Israel, there were places where there were Germans that felt guilty about what their fathers had done, and they had come to Israel to try to volunteer to, you know, I can't say enough of them came, but you did see that kind of thing. That's kind of what is described over here, is that the children of those, you know, people that have harmed us are going to come bowed and bending, and they're going to bow down to our feet. Kol manatzecha b'kori lach ir Hashem, and they will realize that we're the people of Hashem, Kodesh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. But unfortunately, the Poles, they don't take responsibility for their share. And they suffered also, so therefore they want to focus on the fact that they suffered, but they helped the Germans get rid of the Jews, and they just don't want to admit it.
And after, when Jews came back there,
right.
A lot of them were killed.
Right, that's Poles, right. Then. But they had, a lot of them haven't come to terms with that, but I've also heard that the young Poles are the... But this is part of this prophecy, that the descendants of those... historically, it's been that way. It's very interesting. Like, you've had... the Talmud mentions that some of the evil people, that it says that Haman's grandchildren were converted. Like, who would have expected that? You know, we're studying Torah, the B'nai Brak, you know, like, how did that happen? You know, like, there are people, there are some very evil people. They say that evil people have free will, and they could have done a lot of good, and they chose to do evil. But their descendants sometimes go the other way, or look at things differently. But that's part of this prophecy, that the descendants of the evil ones will come and want to make up for what their parents did. Okay, 16. I'm sorry, 15. What will change? What will replace? So, Tachas Hayoska Azuva Usunua. You, the Jewish people, or you, the land of Israel, felt rejected and hated. They ain't over, and nobody came to visit you. Nobody paid attention to you. Well, the opposite will be. Vesamti Lagon Olam. You'll be the center of attraction. You'll be the center of the world. And it'll be Masos, a place of happiness and joy. Midor Vidor. Not just a one-time thing. It'll go on for generation to generation. 16. V'inokhe Cholid Goyim. And... it's a funny word to describe a little child, when they nurse, they basically get all their nutrition from their mother. In other words, they get their support. And today they talk about how healthy it is for people to have nursing milk. In fact, you can buy it on the internet. They sell, it's become a new fad because they've discovered all the nutrients that are available. What's the term for it? In nursing milk. But a child is really given all types of things through being nursed by his mother. So it describes the Jewish people will be nurtured by the nations of the world. They'll provide everything for us, just like a child that nurses. And it's almost like the kings, all these anti-Semitic rulers, will themselves come and nurse us. They'll take care of us. And then you will know. I mean, who would imagine? I mean, imagine Putin, you know, going and helping and planting a tree in Israel, you know, or something, or imagine, you know, Ahmadinejad or one of these wicked, you know, people coming and trying to personally help the Jewish people, you know, like described like a mother nursing a child. But Hashem says this is going to happen because I'm the one who will save you with Goleich, and I'm going to redeem you even if you're in difficult situations. Aver Yaakov, Hashem is the one of might. 17. Tachas Nechoshes Avizav, and in many places, Israel is not a wealthy country. You only have things made out of copper. But in the future, we'll replace it. We're going to get an upgrade. Israel is going to be upgraded. We're going to go from copper to gold. So in place of copper, we'll get gold's much more expensive. And where they had Barzel, I'm going to bring iron, I'm going to bring silver. And where they had Eitzim, where they had wood, I'm going to bring copper. And wherever you look, everybody's going to get an upgrade. V'tachas avanim, where there were stones, there'll be Barzel, v'santim v'tasech shalom. And this will happen not because people will resent it, it'll happen with peace. V'nogshayek tzedakah, and the tax collectors will, instead of taking away from you, they'll be giving you. We'll wait for that, for the IRS to return money to us, right? But they'll come and they'll bring peace. There'll be a real change. Things will change. It's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that they can replace the physical things, but they can't replace the 6 million. They can't replace the sages. They can't. In other words, there'll be a replacement. We'll get a new and better. In other words, they took the wealth of Israel when they plundered at the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Israel was a beautiful country with precious metals and wood and all types of. It was just a very beautiful country, and they stripped it of all of its wealth, and they stripped it of all of its trees and all of it. So it's saying that the land will be rebuilt, but there are certain things that can't be replaced. Those are just things, but the things will be replaced. 18. Lo yishma ot chamas barzeh. But what good will it be if we have a country, but people live in fear? They have to be afraid of Hamas. So Hashem says, you won't hear about Hamas anymore. You won't. That's a. It's a similar word. Hamas means no more violence will be in the land of Israel. Shov v'shev v'gula, and you won't even have any more terrorism anywhere but v'gulayach, in your boundaries. V'karasi Yeshua chamosayach, and you'll feel protection, you'll feel safe. And usharayach tehila, and where your gates will be sounds of praise. People will be so thankful. Now this next verse is very interesting. This verse is a verse that we say to mourners. Mourners probably, they don't even notice it because they're getting up from their mourning. In other words, there's a prayer that you say to mourners that when they get up from Shiva. And this is the prayer, right? Comes from this verse here. Basically that one of the worst, most awful things a person has in this world is when they lose someone. There's nothing worse than that. And they experience a tragedy. But part of the prayer that we say to them is that it won't always be that way, and it won't happen again. In other words, that we pray and we hope that they won't have to experience losses like that, and that their light won't go out anymore. And that's the verse 19. Lo yia lecha od hashemesh leor. Things you won't have sadness anymore, you won't have tragedies anymore. Now, there's an expression like this. There's an idea that Hashem, when he created the world, created the sun and the moon, and they initially, when he created them, they were equal. But the sun got to have its light during the day, and the moon is at night. And we all know that the moon doesn't get a good shake, because the moon is nowhere near the light of the sun. In fact, it's just a reflection of the sun. And the Medrash says that initially Hashem wanted the night to be as bright as the day, but the moon said to Hashem, so to speak, that you can't have two kings, you can't have two chefs, too many chefs spoil the food. So Hashem said, you're absolutely right, I guess we'll make the sun the main one and you're going to be at nighttime. But what it meant to say, what the Medrash is saying, is that we live in a world where, why can't everybody shine? Why can't everybody be the sun? Why can't it be all good? And the nature of the world we live in is that it's not all good, that the sun doesn't always shine. That there's a nighttime, where there's a time when it's dark and it's cold and I can't see so well, and it's that's the nature of the. So in Messianic times, there would be no more darkness, so to speak. And the moon, which was the originally had to be diminished, Hashem will make the moon like the sun, so to speak. In other words, the world we live in now, there's always going to be those that suffer. There's always going to be ups and downs. There's always going to be challenges. But in the Messianic times, so to speak, the moon will get back its luster. It'll no longer be a world where everybody can't shine. In the future world, everybody can shine. There doesn't have to be... some people, they don't want things to get better because they're afraid there'll be disappointments. Sometimes after they mourn, they don't get close to people because they're afraid to get close to anyone because they could lose them, and they don't want to experience that again. Doesn't that sound awful? But there's a certain psychology about that. That we live in a world where if we get people we really care about, things happen. They move, or somebody's not well, or they experience they never want to experience that again, so they refuse to go on living. There's a promise that in the future it won't be that way. In the future, we're not going to have to experience sunset. So that's referenced over here, verse 19. Lo yichah, and that's part of the symbolism of the... we go through life knowing that life, there is a lot of suffering, but it's not the... It's the stage of life where we're being tested. We view that there will be another existence where there won't be suffering, where there won't be these difficulties. That unfortunately is part of the world that we live in. So lo yeh lecha od hashemesh leor yomav lenoga hayireach. There'll no longer be where you'll have the sun shining in the day and the moon won't shine. In other words, where not everybody can shine. V'hayu lecha Hashem leor olam. Hashem is going to be the light of the world, and he'll be your Hashem. And this is the actual verse they quote, the mourner, is on verse 20. Ki lo yava od shimshek. You know what? You won't have, your sun won't set anymore. And you won't have to diminish yourself. You won't have any more downers. Hashem will be your light, and he'll be a light forever. And the days of mourning will be done. There won't be a need for any more suffering. There won't be a need for any more sadness. And again, I've talked to you all, I've mentioned this point often, that we live in a world where people... in their arrogance, they like to claim they're the Messiah, or their leader was the Messiah, or their God was the Messiah. I don't know why they want to do that, but we don't have any confusion about that, because when the Mashiach comes, there'll be no more suffering in the world. That hasn't happened. That is one thing I can tell you. No matter who you're going to say, there's still suffering in the world. There's still wars. There's still suffering. Just open the newspaper. Just turn on the news. So we know the Mashiach's not here. It's such a taking away from Jewish values to have to call someone the Messiah, the Mashiach, but the world will still have problems. So then what's the purpose of the Mashiach? We're living in a life and history where life has challenges, but we believe that there eventually will be a Messianic era that we hope to be able to be worthy of seeing, where life, people won't have to suffer anymore, where everybody can shine. But we don't have any doubts that didn't happen. That we're not there. We're not, we still, plenty of suffering in the world. There's nobody that, so it's just funny even. People talk, maybe the Mashiach. Now, it could be he's coming. One of the things that happens on Yom Kippur when they blow the shofar, you always wonder if the Mashiach's going to come. Maybe that's the announcement. We're always listening. That we always hope that when we blow that shofar, then the shofar of Mashiach will. Maybe we made it. We feel so pure. We got rid of our sins. We feel so close to Hashem, and so we're just hoping. We always hope that when we go through the high holiday cycle, maybe we'll get there. It's going to be hinted to also. In other words, this is such a beautiful picture of no more suffering and no more a world that we can't all shine. Why can't we all shine? Why does it have to be dark at night? Why does the moon have to be second fiddle? Why do we have to live in such a... Well, that's we're hoping for that time, and we hope to bring that time. We hope to bring this vision. The other part is people will have chosen to be, people choose sometimes to be evil or to be bad. Va'ame kulim sadikim. And your people will all be righteous. People will turn towards good. There'll be a new spirit where everybody, instead of wanting to hurt each other and step on one another, everybody will want to be good. La'olam yushu oretz. And they're going to forever, not just temporarily go in the land, but they'll inherit the land. Netzer matoy. And when they go in, Hashem will help plant them. And Masa Yodai, we will be created by Hashem. We just like when people do artwork or when they weave something or they make something, they're so proud of it. Look what I made, look what I did. So Hashem, the Jewish people will be that Hashem's handiwork, and Hashem will brag about us. Look what I've made. Look at my people, what they have made. Now, you might argue we're a very small people, we're very insignificant. Hakat niel elef. The small one, he's going to be 1,000. You think he's small? The small one, even the smallest, will be 1,000, or increase 1,000. But Sawyer, and those that are very small, legoy atzum, will be a mighty nation. Ani Hashem. This is what Hashem promises and Hashem guarantees. Be'ito. Now, they all talk about these two words here. Be'ito means it'll happen at a certain time. And achishenu means I'll make it happen. So basically, the way the rabbis understood this is the Mashiach can come in one of two ways. Either there'll just come a time when history has run its course and it'll have to come on. Hashem will decree that the Messiah, Eliyahu will come and the Mashiach will come. That's be'ito in its time. Or mankind will get its act together and good people will, there'll be a spirit of coming close to Hashem and a spirit of goodness, and we will beseech Hashem to bring a world that doesn't have suffering and bring a world of goodness, and that will hasten, that will bring the Mashiach, that'll make it happen quicker, so to speak. Another, so either Mashiach will come be'ita in its time, or achishanu, or we will be worthy of bringing the Mashiach. That's where, there's these songs, we want Mashiach now. Well, we do want it now, but ideally we should make ourselves worthy of being ready for him, like making the world a place that's receptive to the message of Mashiach, of this kind of life. And hopefully we'll see it soon.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.